Fashion Shoes Should Be On. It's that time again. Are you ready? Sit down, sister. It's not worth your time. We got much more to do. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station. Available on Android, Alexa, iOS, podcasts, whichever way you receive your medium. Remember, we are the only radio station that literally tackles every area of health. How are you doing? Before we get into the show, the most important thing is to remember that, like me, you are blessed and divinely favored, amazing, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem and the answer to somebody's prayer. Never say you never fall in love. And Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And this week, it's no different, right? We're going to explore, after a lovely interview I did with Matthew Ings from M&G, just how much bigger health is than we think. When we run from things, most of us run to the bottom. This wireless record is kind of good, yeah? We need to not just run to the bottle. We need to understand. We're sharing this out. We're sharing the load. We're sharing the drink. We're sharing the load. We're sharing the conversation. We're airing. But if we can't dance in between, something is seriously wrong. We have to be able to throw our head back, shake our shoulders, move the waist from side to side, let it circle, let the feet move up and down, and just let the beat take you. You've gathered by now, I'm a dancer, right? I love dancing. Actually, it's one of those things I passed on to my son. My son does street dance. He does doing street dance. He does lots of competitions, summer dance. I think it's called Summer Dance Forever, those things. So he dances all around Europe and it's amazing. So in fact, he's off to Thailand to dance. So that's not his primary job. He's a game designer, but dance is in his blood. It's clearly dance is something that we like to do, and it's an expression of freedom and movement and love and all sorts of things. But it's interesting because when I was asked to do this interview at first, I was like, why? We're having this conversation about parents being scared to have that money conversation. And really and truly, as we get older, you leave school, you know, there's all these personal development programs out there. And one of the biggest conversations people have is, what is the money story you grew up with? And so it's quite interesting that still in 2026, when we have access to so many things, one, the school curriculum remains way back. The school curriculum is like blockbuster. It's just not moving forwards. And that's the problem. So you're being given things that don't actually serve you once you leave school. But the things that you need now, since technology has moved on, those things are not given. It's all well and good having the skills to navigate AI and use technology and props. But actually, what you really need to do is understand the relationship between your health and your finances, mentally, emotionally, and hormonally. And that's why we need to understand is health is bigger than we think. The things that affect our well-being are often the things we don't immediately call health. And so, you know, we've been taught to think of health as about what we eat. That's the first thing we go. And then how much we move. They're the first two things we think about when it comes to health. Whether we've gained weight or whether the doctor says we're ill. But health is so much broader than that, you know. And this is the problem. The broadness of health makes it quite hard to understand. It's like a TARDIS. It makes it very hard to understand. We constantly hear about the damaging effects of social media on our mental health. But poor financial planning, financial insecurity, and a lack of preparation can have an even more persistent effect and negative impact on our well-being, because they literally affect almost every area of our life. Now, I've walked this path, so I know this to be completely true. And it's interesting because there's the hidden impact of financial stress. And that's what I want to cover before I bring the interview in. So, you know, I have a wonderful program, She Comes First. And, you know, every letter of She Comes First spells or stands for a principle of health. So it is She Comes First. I'm going to spell it out in principles. Self, hormones, emotions, she. Connections, oxygen, movements that matter, exercise, sleep, comes, food, intimate health, rehydration, spirituality, stroke, sunlight, thoughts, first, she comes first. So there are 13 principles of health we don't think about. Now, when it comes to the hidden impact of our financial stress, I can go through many of the principles that I share. And I can go for it in terms of even how it goes. If I look at self first, that's where we start. And self is self-love, self-care, self-awareness. So there's a loss of confidence. There's a loss of autonomy. We feel like, you know, we are slave to the money as opposed to the other way around. You know, we're working for the money and we're not making money work for us. It can be attached to our self-love. Sometimes, because we didn't receive it as children, we may go and try to find it in things. So we get it and we spend it. The money story we were taught, right? The awareness, the care, is that money grows on trees and all these things, and you better save it. Or, you know, we had all these different money stories. And so there was a scarcity mentality. And so now what happens sometimes is like, I mean, money slips through my fingers. We say that, money slips through my fingers. So we live our life allowing what we have to slip through our fingers. But when it comes to self and it comes to financial stress, confidence and autonomy, number one, right? If I move into, and that's going to impact my emotions, because that's going to create anxiety, fear, shame, and frustration, which is definitely going to impact my hormones, because my emotional empowerment directly impacts my hormonal harmony, which literally impacts my health. That's it. I can then move into connections, right? Because issues in money can create tension in relationships and marriages. And it may also be because, remember, your money story and his money story, two different things. Your partner's money story and your money story are totally different. One's a spender, one's a saver. One may save because they were worried about losing, and maybe they had an experience of losing everything, so now they want to hold on and they're fearful of spending. The other one may spend because they were just taught that, you know, that's what it's there for. So, but if we don't have the conversation, that can create issues in connections. It can create issues even with work and responsibility and being able to, and so stewardship. That can be a big problem for us, right? We can look, and of course, if that affects us and our emotions affect us and we have anxiety and fear, we tend to hold the breath. So it's going to affect oxygen. So I can go through every single letter and tell you how finances or a lack of good finances can impact every letter of She Comes First. It's going to impact sleep. You're laying at work, calculating at night, you're laying awake, calculating all your bills. You're trying to work out, you know, movement, you know, no energy. Or time, we're worried about that. So food, we start to pick up, we either skip meals or we eat convenience food, or we don't eat very well. We have a loss of appetite because of the anxiety can actually suppress our appetite. So that becomes a problem for us. Our intimate health, well, everything gets locked into and is aligned around the pelvis. So it can actually affect libido and relationships, but it can actually have more effects than that. It can create lots of pain within the pelvis. It's actually really quite far-reaching. And of course then, you know, our thoughts, the constant worry and the mental overload, like every area of She Comes First, will be impacted by our financial harmony. And so whilst I've got this whole program on helping us to recognize that health doesn't live in separate boxes, and I've designed it like a bicycle wheel so that we understand that one neglected spoke will eventually affect the whole wheel, and that's what we're doing. We need to be able to recognize, you know, how the spoke is affected, and we need to also understand why a physical pension plan is health and finance and harmony. It's never finance and, it's always health and finance and harmony. And how nothing lives in isolation. We can isolate, but we have to integrate. Nothing lives in isolation. One thing happens and everything is impacted. And that's where we need to make sure that we know why these things are important. And when we have these conversations, when I wrote Pelvic Floor Secrets, as the actress Jenny Seagrove said, suddenly nothing's embarrassing and everything is important. That's the difference. Nothing is embarrassing, but everything is important. We need to get to that point where we're having open, honest conversations about our finances, finances in general. Let's play a track.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So just before I bring the interview in, I just wanted to cover a little bit more about understanding how finances can impact us as females, because I want to align it so you understand why I did the interview and how it has an impact on our overall health, right? So when I look at the whole wheel and I look at the 13 spokes on a bicycle wheel, if you go onto my Instagram page, you can see it there. I've done it as a penny farthing because one of the guys that rides around that I know has a beautiful penny farthing. So many women think they're failing because they haven't lost weight, for example. So this is my example I'm going to use. When it comes to weight, many women think they're failing because they can't lose the weight. But when they draw their wheel, they discover that perhaps it's not just the food that's spent, or it's not the food that's spent at all. Maybe it's the lack of sleep, or the poor sleep, or the emotions, or the connections, or stress. And financial well-being, it doesn't sit, there's only one F and it has to be food. But financial well-being isn't a spoke on the wheel because it doesn't sit neatly in one place. It runs through many of the 13 spokes, as I've explained. And, you know, we spend decades planning for our financial pension. That's what we've been taught. You go to work, you get a job, they take money out and put it towards your pension for your future. That's in the hope that one day you will have enough money to enjoy retirement. But when we arrive there financially, we're usually physically bankrupt. They say that people sort of pass away or have heart attacks within a couple of years of retiring, which is crazy, right? They have issues. And what we need to do, what we haven't been taught, is to the reason why we need a physical pension plan. We haven't been taught to balance the scales. If we look at health as on one side of the scales, because health and finance on the other, then, you know, when we look at our physical pension plan, we want to get there knowing that we have the strength, the energy, the mobility and the confidence, the vitality when we're older. When we get there, we want to know we've got the security, the freedom, the choice and provision in our finances. Now, the crossover works really well because when the scales are balanced, you don't just simply retire. You get to enjoy the life that you've prepared for. Finances gives you choices, but so does optimal health. Health gives you the capacity to use those choices, and one without the other is incomplete. So what you need is to be able to have the two together so that you can have that balance. Because if you've got strong financial foundation strength, then that's still strength health. And you've got a good physically strong body that doesn't have lots of ailments. There is no need for us to get to our 60s, 50s and 60s and be talking about hip replacements and knee replacements. That's way too early. But that can also have could also be attributed to footwear. So there's so many different contributory factors. We can look fantastic in these high heel shoes, you know, but many people wear these shoes. It creates bunions. It creates all different types of problems. We alter the pelvic angle. We put more stress on the ligaments that hold up the pelvis and the pelvic floor. We stretch the ligaments around the bladder. We're not realizing the impact of looking good on the outside to what it's doing to our inner world. And that's exactly the same, even with finances. It's the same to have great financial well-being, but with poor physical health. It makes no difference. I have a friend who has another friend who won't invest in her physical well-being. She will not invest in her physical well-being. She says she wants to, but she wants to have all the money up front before she does it, which then puts it off until tomorrow. However, she goes on holiday and then complains that she can't walk or can't walk very far and is upset because her friends won't sit and wait with her. This is what we do to ourselves. We do this quite a lot. We won't look after our physical well-being. We will travel, we'll do things, and those that have the physical capacity that we don't have, we want them to hang back and wait for us. That juxtaposition doesn't work very well. It's going to create some issues in the holiday and the holiday experience for both people. So we have to understand that if we look after our finances in the same way we look after our bodies, we're going to have a better experience. So just before I bring in this interview, I want to ask you, what area of your health have you been neglecting because you didn't realize it was health? That sounds quite crazy, doesn't it, right? Which area have you been neglecting because you didn't realize it was health? And it may just be self-care and self-awareness. It, for a lot of women, it will be emotional empowerment and hormonal harmony. Because what does that mean to have harmonious hormones? Well, we have to then link that to food, digestive health. But we have to link it to thoughts first, because the thoughts, emotions, hormones. So to create hormonal harmony isn't just about eating good food if you don't manage your stress. It's not just about eating good food if you won't look at the times you go to bed and look at your circadian rhythm. You have to consider everything. So what is the impact on my hormones? Is it my food? Is it my thoughts? Is it my breath? Is it my bedtime? Is it the way in which I'm moving? Or, you know, it's the wheel is very, very good. It really does help you. Then you can ask yourself also, where is stress showing up in my body physically? So where is it showing up? Because a niggle here and a niggle there actually may be a stress response. Holding the breath, hyperventilating, is a stress response. So you can ask yourself, where is it showing up? And then you can ask yourself this question, and you're only as strong as your honest. So there's no shame or condemnation. Nobody can see you in your own house. So this is about you. Am I investing in both my financial pension and my physical pension? Because nobody thought about a physical pension. And the thing that upsets me is I get distracted very easily. So when I trademarked this physical pension plan, I should have stayed focused on just that, because I did it 2009. That's nearly 20 years ago. Anyway, I won't go any further. See, in your younger days, you can, all I can, become very distracted very easily. So health isn't simply the absence of disease. That's what we're taught. Health is the absence of disease. It's not simply that, but it is definitely the ability to live with energy, independence, confidence, and choice. And as we plan financially for our future, we have to be, or we should be, I would suggest that we are more intentional about how we invest into the body, the mind, and the relationships that we will carry into the future with us. Your financial pension prepares you for your retirement, but your physical pension determines how much of that retirement you will actually be able to enjoy. That's the difference. So, as a female, I want to encourage you that, you know, as I've in one of my spoken words, they say your body is your advert, and you know it must be true. Each day it tells a story. You didn't know you was telling a financial story or a hormonal story or a stress story. You didn't know you was telling these stories, but each day it tells a story. Each day the story is new. You advertise your life, your health, and who and where you're at. And without a care for what it says, your advert could be flat.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com. UKHealthRadio.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Are you one of those parents that avoids the money talk with your teenagers? Because if you do, today I'm hoping this will help to change your mind, because young people need to be better prepared for their financial future, and we need to stop being scared of money. So I am blessed to be speaking with Matthew Ings, Chartered Financial Planner at M&G. So Matthew, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Good morning, Jenny. Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Do you know, it's funny because my show is a show around female intimate health and the whole person. And I trademarked physical pension plan in 2009. And for me, it's health and finance in harmony. It's being able to get to the end of the road and knowing that you actually have the vitality, the energy to actually match the finances that you have for your future. So one isn't more important than the other. You know, if you get to your end of it and you haven't got the finance to match the money, then you can't really enjoy your future. If you get to the end and you've got the help, but you haven't got the finance, then you create stress, so you can't really enjoy your future. But I think this is really interesting. 7 in 10 parents avoiding having a conversation. Why is that?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. So as part of M&G's research recently, 7 out of 10 parents avoid talking to their teenage children about money. And that really is a function of two things. So first of all, parents say that only 30% of them received good financial education themselves. And I think if they don't have that confidence to talk about money, then they tend to avoid the conversation. And in addition, they don't want to stress their teenage children out. You know, they look at teenagers, there's a lot going on in the world, whether it's exams, universities, work, etc. And they just want to protect them by not having those conversations. But what's really interesting is our research shows at the same time, 7 out of 10 teenagers say they want to feel more prepared for their financial future. So there is a demand there from teenagers. So there's an opportunity that those two statistics bring together, I think.
Yeah. It's funny because the thing is, like I said, you know, we think, okay, I'm going to protect my child. But actually, there's no protection at all, because as a female, everything gets locked into the pelvis. That's why the whole thing about intimate health. And the reason why I agreed to do this interview is because we lock it all into that area of our body, and it affects our intimate well-being. And I don't mean in terms of sexual well-being. I mean just in terms of how we move, our confidence, even our posture and how we carry ourselves. And so if we don't share this information or share about money with our children grow up they don't understand the concept of money. And I think one of the scariest things now, especially for this generation, is we've just reframed the buy now, pay later with things like Klarna. And so people go, well, I've just got this on Klarna. And they're not really thinking that cumulatively, they've got a lot to pay out at the same time. The wage isn't increasing, but the amount that has to come out for what we're enjoying today, we've spent tomorrow's wages today. So, you know, the decisions for today or for tomorrow are based on yesterday's decisions, where we find ourselves financially. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I think that shows why trying to help our teenagers and young people by educating them more is so important. You know, the financial landscape, you mentioned the particular product there, the financial landscape is always evolving. And all of these products may be relevant for people and correct for people at the right time. But people need to go into that with their eyes wide open. And that can only happen if they're well educated on finance and understand the pros and cons of products and when they might be relevant for them. So I think those conversations are really important, more so now than ever, as the financial landscape is broader and more complex perhaps than it was when I grew up, certainly. So yeah, absolutely. More conversations will be better. And back to your point, a problem that's talked about or an issue that's talked about then means that two people will learn together and we'll both feel better about it and we'll be in a better position.
That's right. And I suppose then we won't, you know, even when it moves into relationships, because if we don't learn how to manage our money, it has a massive impact on our relationships, not just our relationships with money, but our relationships with, you know, our relationships with our partners or our life partners that we want to build things with. One person may be really great at saving, That's what they were taught in their money story. And it may be because they're scared that they're going to run out, so they won't spend. And other persons have been told money will never run out, so they spend like it won't be a problem. And that can create so many problems in a relationship, because you're coming to it from two different money stories, from two different perspectives. You're not understanding each other. But maybe the history behind it is a reason why this person spends and this person saves. So I think, you know, the conversation, you know, I know we'd love to get it more into schools, but I think as a conversation that needs to be, you know, where I think with schools, actually, is my idea, Matthew, that they should have these classes where parents and children are together. So you actually get an idea of what your children think about money, and then you actually find out what the parent thinks about money, then you understand what you're working with.
I think that conversation will be a great one to have. And the good news is it doesn't actually necessarily rely on schools being involved. You know, that conversation can happen at home. I was actually chatting to my 21-year-old son a couple of weeks ago about money, sort of in advance of talking with you, and just asked him some questions. And I learned, you know, quite a lot from that conversation. And I work in this industry and I've had conversation with him in the past, but actually sitting down with, you know, a few questions to ask him, it helped me understand a bit more about where his mind is at and what his views are and what his thoughts are. And actually it was really eye-opening. So, and I think that's, again, the cause for optimism here is a big part of the solution. It is just to start having that conversation. It's just to open up and go, look, I'd like to talk about money and just understand more about what excites you about it or what makes you nervous about it or what your attitudes are. And I think the conversation, you know, over a coffee or what have you, will then flow naturally. And I think it will be really helpful for both parents and children. And as I say, what we see is parents often hold back having those conversations because they don't feel like financial experts. But my comment would be, you don't need to be an expert to start having that conversation. You know, can learn together with your teenage children, and that can be really rewarding.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think if you've got, no, I know you people worry about social media. We worry about, you know, the impact of social media on teenagers, how it influences them. But when you get yourself into financial challenges, and they can be big or small, it has a bigger impact than social media anyway.
Yeah, I think social media can amplify things for sure. I think it's also been a force for good, perhaps, over the last generation, in as much as it's certainly made teenagers more aware of finances. You know, when I grew up, there wasn't social media, so I certainly didn't have that opportunity to learn and be exposed to it. So it can be both a good and a bad thing. But I think it perhaps needs the guidance from parents, you know, and other key adults in a teenager's life to help, as you say, help have that conversation and help them understand, because the more conversations I had, the better educated the next generation will be.
Definitely. No, I didn't mean social media in terms of finance. I think people worry about the impact of social media, you know, on body confidence and comparison and those things. So we worry about the impact of that on their mental, emotional well-being. But equally, if we overlook finance, we've overlooked the impact of not managing finance as well on exactly the same thing, on what mental, emotional well-being. And it will have a bigger and sometimes more devastating impact when somebody feels like, you know, because we can get so much on finance that, but we can overwhelm ourselves to the point where we can't keep up. If we can't keep up and we start to have to lose things or give things back, then that sort of sense of our success that we're pouring outwardly becomes impacted, and it can be quite detrimental for people. That's what I mean. So we need to understand that, you know, if we worry about the impact of social media on well-being, you know, poor financial education, poor financial stewardship can be just as devastating. So there's nothing to avoid, but there's everything to gain having all the conversations.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think those conversations, you know, there's a step process almost within that, where the initial conversations with teenagers might be about something quite basic potentially. So just budgeting and short-term saving. You know, I was chatting to my son when I had this conversation recently, and, you know, he's starting to save up for a car, you know, I'm keen that he saves up for rather than he wants to rely on me paying for it. So that's probably 6 to 9 months away. So it was interesting trying to plan that out with him and helping him understand about, right, you need to budget, you need to save some of your earnings, you need to put this aside. And I think having had that initial conversation, you know, that's a starting point. It keeps it tangible and relevant to the individual. And then you can pull out conversations from there and start talking about things that are more longer term, so longer term savings. And as you've touched on at the start of the program, the retirement planning as well and pensions to make sure that they're set up for success for that stage as well.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, Matthew, with your son, he's saving up for his car. Is there one saving pot for the actual vehicle itself, and then the other one for what it will cost to have the vehicle, the insurance, the MOT, the servicing, tires, fuel, blah, blah, blah. If you've got two pots, or just one.
I'd love to answer that with a positive and say yes, but at this stage, my challenge is just to get the one savings pot for him. You know, he's the one saving for it. We've certainly had that conversation, and I think it's small steps. So the first part is for him to start saving regularly, just to put money aside and not spend it every week, every month on going out and clothes. That was the first step. So I think a couple of months of him getting in the habit of that, and then we can look, because you're absolutely right. You know, in that example, it's not just about the car itself, it's the running costs. But I think that probably is a good demonstration of its baby steps. You know, I can't teach you about everything in one go. So first of all, one pot, then two, and then we can increase the conversation from there.
Yeah, I only said that because we're doing this finance course as well. I'm doing another one at the moment, and it's quite interesting because when you're young, you think, right, I want to get a car because, you know, I drive a car. You get a car, but you forget that when you've bought the car, paying for the car is one thing. Maintaining the car is another. You know, it's exactly the same for a house. I want to get a house. You get the house. Getting the house and paying the mortgage is one thing, but all the other bills and utilities that go with it is another. So there's a whole thing around finance and what we have in our hands. We shouldn't just go, right, I've got this in my hands, I can use all of it now. Being able to say, right, this is what I have now. These are the things I may have to pay out for. These are the things I'm responsible for today. These are the things that I may need tomorrow. So let me be able to divide my money, because it's hard, because, you know, at the moment it's like, I want to get a new dress. I want to get my hair done. I want to get my nails done. I want to do this. It's like, how do we teach these people? Look, not everything that comes in, and I'm guilty of this, right? You can take straight away and spend.
And I think that's what that probably, I tell that resonates very much. I mean, I think what that says is the very first starting point of the financial education for all of us, you know, whether we're parents, whether we're, you know, grown-ups, or whether we're teenagers, is budgeting. That's the very first bit. Do you know what comes in? And then have you looked at in detail what goes out every month, both in terms of what has to go out, you know, food, mortgage, etc., and perhaps the more optional things, and then what is the amount that you're able to save, and then within that savings pot, is it one pot, two pot, three pots, etc.? I think budgeting and having a really detailed understanding of that is the first step any of your listeners can take for themselves and their children, which, you know, I think everybody can do, but not necessarily everybody does do.
No. And what about residual income? Do you do a lot of teaching on residual income? Because I think in today's climate, having just one source of income does not really help us move forward as fast as we might like to. And we don't have patience to wait.
It is interesting. You hear the phrase side hustle quite a lot, and people talk about other things they want to do. And obviously there's research that M&G have done out there that says the next generation are not just focused on earning the most money, whereas perhaps our generation or previous generations were. What they want is a real sense of well-being and a sense of purpose. And that may lend itself to having more than one income stream. But no matter how many income streams somebody has, coming back to the key point, you know, having regular conversations to using that income wisely and appropriately, and having bills paid, short-term savings, long-term savings, and having a good understanding, and importantly, keeping a regular eye on those savings pots to make sure they're doing what they need to do, is going to be really important for the financial well-being, as you said, through your lifetime.
Definitely. And I know our time has run out, we're running out, but I know for me, like I said, when I look at people and I have this physical pension plan, the reason why I align them together is because if I look at health, people think of health and they think strength, energy, mobility, confidence. That's what they're thinking. You know, they can do these things. You look at finance, you're thinking security, freedom, choice, provision. So the two go hand in hand. You know, you need the strength, you need the energy, you want to have the freedom of movement. And that's not just in terms of physical, but that's obviously in terms of financial as well. You want the security in your body, and that's where strength comes in. So the two go hand in hand. There's There's no time to not have a conversation, and schools should have something that actually kind of makes sure that the curriculum, I think the curriculum needs adjusting, because we need to be able to give children the tools and the education that sets them up to start well, as opposed to giving them an education where most of the things they learn, they never look back and use once they leave school.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you on that and agree with you. And I think what's exciting is there is going to be a curriculum change in a couple of years to broaden out financial education in schools. So that's a positive thing that's incoming. But yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Really good chatting with you, Jenny. Thank you.
Yes. Where can people find information before you disappear?
If we take a look at our M&G website, so mng.com, all of the information is on there to do with our Reframing Retirement campaign. So go there for more information.
Excellent. I hope your son passes his driving test first time and gets a wonderful car with his little black box.
Thank you very much. So do
All right. God bless you. Thanks, Take Jenny. Care. Thank you. I do hope you found that useful. It just helps you to understand that the impact on finance on your physical well-being can really be far more than, you know, what we, I suppose, we think about. So with me, She Comes First, it is a diagnostic and awareness piece. It just helps you to ask yourself, what's influencing my health right now that I may not have even recognized as health? Because all it's doing is exposing the interconnectedness of your finances, your relationships, your emotions, your sleep, your thoughts, your hormones, your food, your movement, your intimacy. It's everything. It's just exposing all of those things, yourself. Everything starts with self and comes back to self. And then your physical pension plan then takes that awareness and it takes it into the future. So it helps you to say, what am I deliberately investing in today so that I can have something to draw upon later? And that really makes an opportunity for you to understand why the two things go together. So, you know, we understand compound interest financially, but we need to understand compound interest physically. So the small deposits made consistently into strength, mobility, cardiovascular health, into your sleep, nervous system regulation. Everyone's talking nervous system regulation. You cannot have nervous system regulation without emotional empowerment or hormonal harmony. That's very hard to have if you do not have good circadian rhythms. Sleep. So, you know, and the right nutrition, relationships and emotional well-being, they accumulate from these different things. Neglect also compounds. We need to understand that. So it's what's really nice is it helps you. You can have your bicycle wheel, you can have your health scales, but you can see which way they're tipped. Financial wealth without physical capacity can definitely restrict your ability to enjoy what you've accumulated financially. That's for sure. Physical well-being without financial resilience can restrict your choices. So it's for sure. So the objective has to be harmony. That's the objective. And that will help us, right? And so the question then becomes, you're paying into your financial pension, but what are you paying into your physical pension plan? You know, back in the day, TV turned off at 10:30. There was nothing else to do, so you went to bed. We've got TV 24/7, and not the ones we've got on our walls. We've got them in our hand, on our phone, on our tablets. We just got it 24/7. We walk around with artificial light in our hands all the time without any idea or regard for the impact on our melatonin. Melatonin is our sleep hormone and our rest, repair, restore, rebuild hormone, refresh. If we want to recover from something as drastic as cancer, let's say, then having all of these things in your bedroom, staying up all night watching TV thinking, well, you know, there's nothing else to do, it's not going to help us. We've got to understand the relationship between these artificial lights, well, the impact on even just, you know, how it impacts our food and digestion, how the body will take the oxygen away from the stomach and move it up to the eyes, because the eyes need it, right, for all the light in. So we suppress and slow down digestion. But we need to make sure we're eating the right foods in the right environments, understanding the importance of chewing food till it liquefies, not drowning our food with drink to slow down digestion. There's so much, honestly, it's a minefield, but you know what? It's a really good minefield to be in. It really is. And I think we just make life complicated for ourselves because we think we've got all these convenient things to make life easier. But actually, the question then becomes, what are you making it easier for? Because the truth is, if we dig into it properly, we're actually making it easier for us to get sick. Now, I had to pause for a second because that's quite a scary thought. The things that we have that we think make life easier, faster, are actually making sickness a faster experience for way too many of us. The amount of people that are sick, the condition of sickness, is crazy, but it is also a trillion-dollar industry. And that statement still remains true. If you want to hide something from someone, put it in a book. People don't even want to read books anymore because you can listen to them. The thing is, you can listen, but you miss. When you see it on the page and you read it, sometimes you go back and go, what was that? Let me read the... You see it in context so much better on a page than when you hear it. You can play it over again and it can be great. And I'm not knocking audibles because they have their place. But a library, books, reference, pull it back, you know where it is, makes all the difference. It's also really good for your eyes and for eye strength, for muscle strength, using the eyes. You're not using your eyes when you're listening, you're using your ears. We need to strengthen the eyes by using them. We need to not be scared at some points to look at the sun. Not stare at the sun all day long, understand which times to use it, but I can tell you, it actually can help eye health. But we've been told not to. Sunglasses as well. I do wear them. You know, we think are protecting our eyes. But actually, we've got to remember that a lot of things we think is protecting us, we have to question, what is it protecting us from? And what are we not allowing? Nature. God designed everything. He created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon and the stars and everything in between. We can turn away from God. That's our choice. But let me tell you, everything that we've got pertaining to life and liberty, we've been given. We're creating lots of stuff. But the creator created the originals. And even if we use AI and do whatever, nothing, it's logic, nothing beats that spiritual side of us that's being suppressed, that soul side. That's the bit we need to tap into, because that's how we get hormonal harmony. That's how we start to harmonize our bodies. So my time is fast spent. I'm nearly run out of time. I hope this made sense. I'm going to automate She Comes First. So that allows you to have access to it. And then you can have access to follow on to understand, how do I develop my physical pension plan? How do I pull this into something that becomes a powerful tool for my life? We may have put our physical pension off till late and think it's too late. It's never too late to start to get the body where you want it to be. It really isn't. It's a case of making changes, and change comes before transformation, and just transforming the way in which we are. I have left my finances too late, so I've got to do the financial side myself and build my finances up to the level that I want them to be. So nothing's too late, because you can earn. And you can earn a good body and you can earn good finances. I will say, is one easier to get than the other? Possibly the finances, opportunities, breakthroughs. But really and truly, you have an opportunity right now to make a change to your health. You have an opportunity right now to make a change to the way in which you use your finances. Literally, they go hand in hand. If we make this change and we improve this area, and start to straighten the spokes in our bicycle wheel, we can harmonize our health. If we make this change to temptation and giving in to desires and instant gratification, we can change our finances. They go hand in hand. So, you know, it's not too late to improve your finances, and it's not too late to improve your health. But let's try and make sure that we have the two things and have this conversation with our children and be better examples so we can show them why these things matter today for tomorrow. A really important thing with finances is to ask yourself how much of tomorrow's money has been spent on yesterday's decisions. That was a powerful question I heard last week, and I was like, whoa, that's a good one. Anyway, if you want to find me, I didn't even talk about my event on the 26th with Laureen Cato. JennyRussell.com is where you'll find the tickets for that. Confession, Conversation and Chorus in Soho on the 26th of September. But if you want to get any more information about what I do, my services, working with me one-to-one, then it's Jenny Russell. JennyRussell.com, J-E-N-N-I, or you can email me pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. But until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay well, and stay safe.